Track 5. Lviv, Luhansk and Izum are now familiar names to anyone following the news from Ukraine. But for Norfolk journalist Tom Bristow, they are associated with a trip he'll never forget.
Ukraine, in the summer of 2008, was a land in full bloom. Fields full of sunflowers and wheat stretched across the Eurasian steppe. The country's tractors, now going viral online for towing away captured Russian tanks, chugged along peacefully. Three friends and I had left London 6 days earlier in a 20-year-old London cab and a decommissioned ambulance. We were 21 and thought it'd be an adventure to drive the two vehicles through Europe, Kazakhstan and Russia to Mongolia. That adventure really started in Ukraine. It was the first country where we ran into problems and also the first where we relied upon the decency of its people to help us. The locals we met were self-sufficient, tough but kind, and they had to be. Crossing from Poland, the difference between the two countries' infrastructure and buildings was stark. Ukrainian roads were full of potholes. Houses in the rural areas looked more like shacks, but progress was happening. The first city we arrived at was Lviv, a place which has been occupied at times by the Germans, Poles, Habsburgs and Soviets. It looked like a city under construction, full of roadworks and scaffolding. It is also one of the country's cultural treasures, and when the Russian invasion began, officials hurriedly removed artworks to protect them. After another day's driving and a night camped in a field, we headed towards Kyiv, down the MO6 highway, a road where Ukrainian troops successfully ambushed Russian forces in March during their defence of the capital. Back then, it was strewn with trees from a recent storm. In Kyiv, we were impressed by the architecture and gold domes of the churches, but we had not planned to go sightseeing. However, our ambulance's suspension had given up on the potholed roads, and we were stuck. We spent our first afternoon in the city driving around garages, trying to find someone with the part the ambulance would need, but nobody had it. "This isn't Germany," one mechanic kept telling us. My friend's diary from the time reads, "We were gutted. This was a turning point, as we could not continue the trip without working suspension, and not a soul in Kyiv seemed to be able to fix the problem." But the next morning, we got our first taste of Ukrainian self-sufficiency. Instead of waiting for days to order a part in, we found a mechanic, Igor, who built a more basic replacement suspension for the ambulance. This took several men a couple of days of hard work, and while we were lucky enough to take in the city's many sights and nightlife. The young people we met spoke great English and were happy to show us around their favourite bars. The next afternoon, the ambulance was finally fixed, and we left Kyiv, crossing the mighty Dnipro River. We sped on, keen to make up some miles. Unfortunately, our keenness earned the attention of the local law officers. At one police stop, we didn't see the man with the big white baton trying to flag us down, and so by the time we got to the next checkpoint, a brave officer was forming a one-man roadblock to stop us. He wasn't happy, but 10 euros seemed to clear up the misunderstanding. This was our first bribe of many to local police. We drove and drove and drove around places which meant nothing to us but are now in the front line of a war which will determine this country's survival and the future of Europe. Kharkiv, Kramatorsk, Izyum, Luhansk, sites of daily tragedies, of missile strikes killing civilians. But back then, full of people just getting on with their lives. As we progressed, we could tell we were getting closer to Russia. We noticed changes in the language. We could see more heavy industry. But there was no hint of what was to come in eastern Ukraine 6 years later, when Russian-backed forces declared a people's republic, leading to the loss of thousands of lives. The Ukraine-Russian border was easily crossed after giving a guard a pack of Marlboros. Pre-smartphones and unable to read the newspapers, we didn't know that just a few hundred miles away, Russian-backed forces were at war with another neighbour, Georgia. we carried on unaware, having the summer of our lives and relying on strangers to help us when we hit mechanical problems. 4 weeks after leaving London, we finally arrived in Mongolia, exhausted but proud. Russians and Ukrainians alike helped us complete this trip, and I'll always be grateful to the strangers who put their days on hold to help 4 young Englishmen driving strange vehicles. One of our most memorable encounters was on our return leg when we stopped in Moscow and went to a bar next to the Kremlin. A large Russian was sitting at the bar and heard us speaking English. He suddenly leaned over to me, and I braced myself for some sort of aggression. "My government, your government, no friends," he shouted. "Damn government, we drink!"